directing and training in your righteousness. Amen. 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 With those same Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. While they're getting it together. All right. Well, we are starting this series. We're going to be talking about our vision as a church and the values that we hold as a church. So over the next few weeks, we will be going, reflecting on those things. And, you know, if you look at Ephesians 4:12, our vision verse, our vision statement is simple. For equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ. God showed us that a few years ago, to change our vision to that, because we are called to be a church that equips, that trains, that empowers with the knowledge and spirit of the authority of Jesus Christ, that we can move mountains in faith, that there's nothing that we cannot do when His presence is there, when His power is overflowing, when His Spirit is moving within us. Well, we're going to start reading. If you have your Bibles, you can start reading with me. We're going to read beginning Matthew 9, beginning verse 1. So he got in the boat and crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought him a paralytic on a bed. Then when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Then he arose and departed to his own house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he rose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the disciples saw it, they said to the teacher, "Why does your teacher," when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus heard that, and he said to them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not?" And he said, "Can friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away for the garment and the tear made worse." Then as we read on, we see a girl restored. Her, to life. Then two blind men came to Jesus, and God healed them, and Jesus healed them. Then beginning verse 32, a person who was mute, unable to speak, Jesus healed. And then Jesus, beginning verse 35, says this, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are weak. Laborers are few, I'm sorry. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And then verse 1 of chapter 10, and he called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast out them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. So, here we are. Our vision is to equip the body. What do you see in the life of Jesus? Let's answer the question, why? What is the purpose to equip the body? What do you see? You see a light schedule? You see an easy life? Or do you see somebody who's going from here to there and ministering and constantly pouring out? And what happens at the end of chapter 9? He looks and sees so many more in need that one man in the flesh cannot do. One man in the flesh cannot handle. So he says, man, the harvest is ready. There are so many who need help, who need to hear the gospel of truth, who need to be imparted on the power of God for healing and restoring and rebuilding and strengthening and to be taught the word of God. And so what does he do in verse 10, in verse 1 of chapter 10? He calls his 12 and he says, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. In other words, he said, come here. I want you to be able to do what I'm doing right now. I want you to be able to do exactly what I'm doing, because this is what you're going to have to do when I'm up with my dad again, when I'm with the Father again. So many churches and philosophies of ministry is the pastor or the pastors or ministry team does everything. Is that biblical? Is that in the Bible? No. What do we see in Scripture? We see in Scripture not just Jesus pouring into his disciples so he can impart on them what the Father gave to him, but then, excuse me, we see his disciples in the book of Acts doing the exact same thing to anyone and everyone who's willing to receive. Jesus saw the amount of work that needed to be done. He needed his disciples to be trained and commissioned, blessed, anointed, imparted on to effectively accomplish his purpose. Being. He didn't come to do it all. He came to give of himself. And I love what Bobby said about the breaking, the anointing. The fact is, you get oil, the Holy Spirit, from that olive when it's pressed. When it's pressed. The Garden of Gethsemane, its name means Garden of Olives, or Olive Press, actually. A place where you are pressed. And the presence of God comes over you. Because when I am broken before God, he is full in me. When I am broken before him, there's nothing stopping him from moving in my heart and doing more. So, in looking at that, understanding that it's not the one to everything, but to the many to the many as a church, what we are doing. We are equipping people, the many to the many, which is our first, using a new thing here, trying to get it right. Was it not set up with the new PowerPoint I sent you? Yeah, this is not. There it is. Okay, sorry. I'm hitting the wrong button. I apologize. Jesus was doing everything on his own. He was doing everything on his own. So he began the commission. So it was one of our values is the many to the many. In other words, I'm going to pour into you so that you can pour into somebody else. I'm going to disciple you so you can disciple somebody else. That's what our PAYS team's here to do. As they work with our young people and the young people in this community, they're there to pour into them so they can learn to pour into someone else as they grow and mature. And there's no such thing as, well, I'm not spiritual enough to mentor somebody. Why? Because you can take somebody with you to do what you're doing. You can take somebody with you to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life. It's no more one to the many, but the many to the many. We have people here. I mean, it started actually without realizing it, and I've brought this up before, Helen taking little Josh under her wing. And now Josh is talking about doing a mini sermon YouTube channel where he's going to preach. Okay? I mean, this is mentoring, guys. This is what we do. We've got people in worship ministry now taking people under their wings and saying, okay, I've poured into you. Now pour what you have been given, whatever little or great you may think it is, into someone else so we can make disciples. In every area of ministry, we're doing that in. The pastor is not the one that should always be the one at the hospital. That's how you burn somebody out. But you're also doing no one else's service. Because you know what? Every single one of us in this room has been given an anointing and a calling and a purpose. Every one of us, just like all 12 disciples he imparted those things on, can walk in the power of God if you're willing to. Every one of us can go into a hospital bed, lay hands and heal somebody in the name of Jesus. Every single one of us, as we open ourselves to the prophetic, can minister to somebody in the prophetic. Every one of us can have that, but it's up to us. That's why I said to you today, receive. When you're like this, you're guarded. When you're like this, you're guarded. When you're like this, you're guarded. Receive. Because as freely as he gives and pours in, it just overflows out, and you will never run out if you are in his presence and stay in his presence. Let him pour into you. Let him do this for you. And he wants to do this. And as a church, this is what we're working towards. And it's not normal for many churches. They might have ministry heads, but we don't want just ministry heads. We want people who are committed to the work of the kingdom of God in this church. There is no more territorial, this is my ministry. No. We have a teachable spirit. And we have people committed to the whole thing, not just their thing. Let me say that again. This is an important fact. We're looking and believing in people committed to the whole thing, not just their thing. How does that apply? If you're in ministry Sunday morning, you're in prayer. And when you're not scheduled for ministry, you're in prayer. You're not scheduled to do something. You still come to church to worship and receive because you can't always be pouring out. It's not just about my area of ministry, but it's about me committed to what God wants to do in this church. Not just about my thing. It's about what God is doing. So we're trying to unify that spirit and that heart. See, Holy Spirit didn't fall till they were in one accord, when it wasn't about them, but about what God wanted to do. I need to learn to get out of my way, my own way, to let God do what he wants to do. The many to the many. That's one of our biggest values. You're going to hear a lot about that. And throughout this series, a lot of these themes are going to keep coming up till you're tired of it, because we want to ingrain it in everything that we are. The many to the many. Okay. There we go. Second value is tools of the trade. Calling it. He equips with power. What did we read earlier? That he gave them in Matthew 10:1. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal the sick and all kinds of diseases. Jesus equipped them with power. Not just, let me teach you. Here's the manual on what you should do. I've been reading so much about Bible colleges and seminaries lately. And what's happening is, for years it was education produces results. Now, when I started as pastor of this church, I simply thought, if I just got up here and just preach to you what you're supposed to do, everybody's going to get it and just do it. You laugh, but that was the truth. That's not true anymore. That's not how Jesus imparted his power. He equipped with knowledge, but he gave us his spirit to take that knowledge and use it and move in it. We want to equip the body in all things. We want to bring out what's already within us. See, the Holy Spirit's one spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are his gifts. If the Holy Spirit's in me, that means I've got all his gifts within me. The fruit of the Spirit is his fruit, and it's singular, one. If the Holy Spirit's in me, I have his fruit. And the fruit and the gifts go hand in hand with what he is doing. The prophetic, the teaching, the leading, the healing, the praying. We want to develop your spiritual gifts, whatever they may be, that God wants to use you. We want God. We're so desperate for God to pour into us that we can pour out. So desperate for every one of us to be in that place to receive so they can give. There was a time when it was a struggle to get people to believe that they can pray. But not anymore. People are not only praying, but they're praying with authority and power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power Jesus gave us. See, it's a shift in thinking. Part of equipping is more than just giving you tools and just letting you go. It's a mindset. See, when I pray for someone to be healed, I'm at that place now where I expect that to take place, and I'm shocked if it doesn't. Now, I'm not the one that heals. God does. But I expect God to work. And if it doesn't, I'm shocked. When we're in that worship, I'm expecting a prophetic move. I'm expecting an anointing from everyone, not just those with titles, but everyone to be in one accord and move. Because why? The Holy Spirit's here. And he's in us. And our job, at the very bottom of it all, at the very foundation of it all, is to teach one another how to receive the Holy Spirit. That's the foundation of equipping. Because see, Holy Spirit is a spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom. So receiving the Holy Spirit opens us up to receive the wisdom and knowledge of God, the power of God, an understanding of the authority of who we are in God, as sons and daughters of the living King, and it releases the prophetic, the gifts, and the fruit that comes forth. Matthew 10:7-8 says this, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely you give. See, he doesn't say preach and then do those things separately. Preaching and those things go hand in hand. Did you ever read in Scripture where Jesus healed and didn't preach, or preached and didn't move in a prophetic way? They're one and the same. The Word of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God flow together beautifully. So I can stand up here and intellectually regurgitate to you Scripture. But if I haven't embraced it, His Word, if I haven't received His Spirit to help me understand, make sense, and move in His Word, and within that, move in the authority and power of the things that God is doing, I'm missing something great. All we're doing is just talking. But we don't want to talk. We want to be ready to fight. Today is the Super Bowl. Imagine if either one of those teams, all they did was talk about what they're going to do against the other team and never once practiced it or put it into action. Who do you think is going to win? Not that team. Not any team. To be equipped is to be given everything you need, the instruction manual and the tools and the place to do it in, a place to use it. One of the things I love about this body is the fact that it's a safe place to release the God in you, to let God move. Are we going to always be right and perfect? Not necessarily, especially a new person who's just been baptized by the Holy Spirit, who's just flowing in the gifts and the prophetic and learning how to pray with power and authority. But you know what? God is love. Core fruit, element of His fruit is love, patience, kindness. So guess what? We take you by the hand. And we work together. We teach. Guess what? I'm still learning. And that's not a lie. I'm still learning about certain things. You guys know I grew up Baptist all my life. And even though I've been pastoring this church for many years, it's only been the last 3 years, I'm learning more about moving in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. So I'm still learning. It's kind of like, you know, you put yourself out there and then God kind of says, okay, let me reel you in just a little bit and show you how to do it right through people, through others. Equipping the body to do the things God's called us to do. And if you have a teachable spirit, a teachable heart, there is no telling what the Holy Spirit can do. As soon as we say we know it all, we're done. We just shut the door to God ministering to us. So, tools of the trade, He's given us. He's equipping us to do these things. Things just not working right for me. There we go. All right. Third value are mini-me's. Mini-me's. What does that mean? I bet you can guess. Disciples making disciples. That's what we're talking about. Isn't that what Jesus did? Exactly what Jesus did. Mark 16, 15 through 18 says this. And He said to them, make sure that's on there, yep. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It doesn't say he or she. It says they. Do you remember when Jesus released the 70 to go and preach and go to towns? And he says, don't take anything with you, but just what you need, and that's it. He sent them two by two. He sent them together to encourage one another. And this was before he fully equipped them. Because if you remember the story, they come back and he processes with them what happened. And then he begins to pour back into them even more. Make disciples. Take someone underneath your wing and love on them. Take them. One of the things we want to start doing in making disciples, if I go to pray someone in the hospital, I'm going to take someone with me to show them how to do that. If we go to set up or do something, take someone with you. I'm really bad because I'm the kind of person that just does it. And I have to change the way I think, that it's not about getting the job done, but doing something that's going to build the kingdom of God in someone's life. It's not about, look at me, how many chairs I set up, but who can I get to set up the chairs with me so that we can have a time of fellowship, a time of discussion, a time of growth together. It was so awesome last week when it snowed. My wife actually came out and shoveled snow for the first time in her life with me. And she was great, did it for 5 hours. But what was so cool was we were shoveling snow. We did ours. Then when we went over to help out our neighbors, and our neighbors then came with us, Nicole specifically, with her snowblower, she came, and now we started doing other neighbors, and we had two other neighbors. You take someone with you and you minister together. This is mentoring. This is making a mini-me. Because we want to replicate ourselves. Why? Because that's how the vision is communicated. That's how the values of this church continue to go from generation to generation. As much as I want to think I'm from this generation up here, reality is, I'm a generation or two behind. So how are we transferring to the next generation the values God wants for this church? We transfer them by taking someone under our wing and loving on them and walking with them. We become mentors to other people. We take others on the journey with us, just like Jesus. He always took his disciples. The only time he went off on his own is to get refreshed, to commune with the Father. And there was even that moment in Transfiguration where he took two disciples with him too. But pretty much, Jesus, wherever he went, where he poured out, he wasn't just pouring out to people. He was pouring into the lives of his disciples because they walked with him. Remember the story of Moses? There was how many hundreds of thousands, and then at some given point, 2 million plus people? And he was the lone person in charge? And his father-in-law says, hey, Mo, we need to talk. You're going to burn yourself out, and guess what? Burnout is bringing resentment and bitterness in your heart towards the people you're supposed to love. So you need to pull it together, get some people you trust, and mentor them, and train them up, and give them authority to lead others, and pass it all. It's not just you anymore. Yeah, you've got Joshua, and you have Aaron around you. Joshua was like the military leader, and Aaron was the priest. But you know what? You can't do it all. You need to do something. You need to equip others and not just train them, but let everyone know they have that place. Honor them with that place. which we're going to talk a lot about a culture of honor over the next few weeks. Bring people to that place. Why? Because now it doesn't become your church. It becomes our church. They don't become your people. It becomes us. It's not about I or me. It's about this is what God's doing with all of us. I would cringe whenever I hear somebody who's been coming to our own church go, your church. No. If you're part of this body, it's our church. And if you still feel like it's your church, what am I doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? That we haven't ingrained in a person the value of family. Because this is important. We are a family of believers. What have we missed, and what do we need to do on? You know, it's equipping them the way we were equipped. It's empowering them the way we were empowered. It's giving them opportunities, giving each other opportunities to serve and grow. Instead of becoming the leader, we become a mentor and an overseer and transition, an encourager. These are basic three primary places that we equip, or why we equip, why this value is so important to us. Because as a church, we are growing and things are happening. And we're believing and expecting some things to take place that in God, that God wants to do with this church. And we need a body of equippers, a body of people willing to be mentors. Because there's going to be plenty of mentees that are going to start coming through our doors. So I want to encourage you, you know, we're going to step up. Ask the Holy Spirit, what area do you want to be mentored in? Do you want to grow in? Where do you find yourself? The worst thing that can happen to a church is to have a church full of spectators instead of engagers. Whether that's in worship or in ministering to one another. We don't want spectators. We want everyone to find their place, because in a family, everyone has their place. Every single person has their place. And we are a church family. Would you stand with me? Lord, Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, come. In a moment, I'm going to release us to gather in groups of threes, fours, and fives, however way, to pray for each other's needs and to pray for one another. But within that prayer, I want to specifically ask that you ask the Holy Spirit to